note to the listener. If you are living with illness, please use these meditations at a pace that best fits you. There's no need to be on task. You may find that you listen to a meditation that doesn't speak to you. Skip it. You can come back to it later. Most of all, use these meditations and the practices, if you are so inclined, in a way that supports your own physical, spiritual, and mental health. If you have questions about whether a particular practice is appropriate for your condition, check with your physician or your spiritual director or other caregiver. Meditations for Living with Illness for Explore Faith. All references from the Psalms are taken from the Psalter in the Book of Common Prayer, 1979. Day 1. You will show me the path of life. Psalm 16, verse 11. If you are listening to this meditation, in all probability, you are learning to live with illness. Your illness may be chronic or progressive or terminal. In any case, you are entering a school of experience for which our culture offers little wisdom. You are seeking to find a way to live with the stresses and the discomforts of a body that is somehow weakened. You are trying to live within new limitations. You are also coming face to face with the fact of your own mortality. The wisdom tradition of Scripture tells us that this kind of experience, as harsh and painful as it may be, also offers us the opportunity to come to terms with reality. We begin to remember that we are creatures. We begin to recognize that our lives are fragile and that our bodies can suffer from many different maladies. We begin to reorient and reframe our lives within a new context, a context of difficult days and unexpected physical disruption. And we may begin to ask deeper questions about meaning and about life, about death and about eternity. When we ask those questions, we are beginning to take the first steps on a path of life. We are beginning to live at a deeper level, though it may not be the path we would have chosen. Gracious God, in whom I live and move and have my being, as I learn to live with this illness, may I be open to your presence and mercy. Amen. Practice. You will need to have a journal for the practices suggested for these meditations. It does not need to be expensive. A simple notebook might be just right. 1. Write down questions that have arisen for you as a result of living with illness. Be honest. No one else will read these. 2. Choose one question to hold quietly in prayer. Write the question on a piece of paper. Place the paper in your hands, held together in a receptive gesture. Offer the question in prayer, saying, "I offer this question to you in love, O God," or use a prayer of your own. 3. Continue with this practice as you are led. There's no need to rush. 4. Make note of what occurs to you as you sit with the question. You might become aware of your own feelings or memories, uncertainties or frustrations. Gently allow yourself to receive what comes to your notice. 5. Bring the practice to a close with a simple prayer of thanksgiving. Day 2. Have pity on me, O Lord. Psalm 9, verse 13. When illness has come to live within your life, not as a guest, but as a permanent resident, you may feel singled out. We have inherited a strange and punitive way of thinking about illness. Often we are told that it is our fault. If we had only eaten the right food, meditated sufficiently, or been less anxious, we would not have become ill. On one level, this is true. If I have smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day for years, I have compromised my lungs, and it is more likely that I will develop lung cancer. If I have overindulged in alcohol for most of my life, I might develop some malady of the liver. And then again, I might not. On a deeper level, there is no simple formula for cause and effect when it comes to living with illness. The fact is that all bodies eventually fail. Bodies wear out. The inner processes of cell division can go awry. The amazing capacities for transformation of food into energy can be disrupted. We all eventually die. The assurance that our tradition and experience offers is this: whatever suffering and disorientation the illness has brought, God is present in and through that suffering and disorientation. In the words of Paul Claudel, Jesus did not come to explain away suffering or remove it. He came to fill it with his presence. God of mercy, grant me eyes to see and ears to hear, that I may recognize your presence in Christ through every hard passage as I live with this illness. Amen. Practice. Using your journal, start a running list of moments when you have known the presence of God in and through your illness. Possible times of knowing that mercy of presence might include through the skill of doctors and nurses, through the prayers of family and friends, through deep silence in the midst of recovery. Return to this list from time to time, especially when you are feeling abandoned or neglected by God. Add to the list as you are led. Day 3. Surely you behold trouble and misery. You see it and take it into your own hand. Psalm 10, verse 14. We live in a culture of the quick fix. If we have a diagnosis that is not likely to result in that quick fix, we can find ourselves at odds with dominant perspectives, even within our own faith communities. I have lived with chronic pancreatitis since 1995, and I've recently had my 7th endoscopic microsurgery. There are no quick fixes for this condition. There are no ready solutions. Many who are hearing these words find themselves in the same dilemma. Perhaps you find yourself yearning, as we all do, for some miracle cure. Perhaps you find yourself wanting God to intervene in a miraculous way. I have certainly had those desires. And yet, the peculiarity of my own anatomy that creates the chronic condition remains the same. God in Christ indwells the not perfect creation that is my body, just as God in Christ indwells the not perfect creation of the whole universe. God does behold the trouble and the misery. Before God, we are never invisible, never unseen, never ignored. Our trouble and misery are seen and known for what they are: trouble and misery. God meets us in that deep distress even when we cannot sense God's presence. In the deep distress of living with this illness, may I know that you behold every moment of pain and fear. May I know that you are with me. Amen. Practice. In your journal, write down a description of the illness that you live with. If, for example, you live with a heart condition, you might write, "My heart is weakened and has lost its ability to pump blood efficiently." Be specific. Then allow yourself to become quiet and receptive. Breathing gently and slowly, place your hands on what you have written and pray the prayer offered at the end of the meditation. In the deep distress of living with this illness, may I know that you behold every moment of pain and fear. May I know that you are with me. Amen. Let your hands connect the description of the illness to the prayer, the imperfection to the yearning for God's presence. Note: if you cannot write and you wish to keep a record, you could record your responses. If that is not an option that is right for you, feel free to disregard the directives about writing and to mentally follow the suggestions. Alternatively, if you have a trusted friend who might track the practices with you, that friend might be your scribe. Also, if at any time a practice seems unsuitable for your condition or your present spiritual, emotional, and psychological state, skip it. Day 4. Hear the voice of my prayer when I cry out to you. Psalm 28, verse 2. Living with illness gives us a strange gift. When we live with a body that is compromised in some way, we discover our need of others and our need of God. It is a gift to discover this need, though it may be completely disconcerting. Most of us are socialized to be self-sufficient and independent. Acknowledging that we are each a part of a vast, interdependent web of life may be a completely new perspective. And yet it is the truth. None of us is truly self-sufficient. None of us brought ourselves into being. In the words of C.S. Lewis, there is a severe mercy that is offered in living with illness. Our illusions of not needing one another fall apart. We may need help walking, or need a friend to help us with errands. We may need financial support. We may need someone to talk to. And in that awareness of our need, we come upon this truth. We are contingent beings, dependent upon God for our life and our relationships. Awakening to this brings us to deeper prayer. We cry out to God, asking for healing, asking for companions in the pilgrimage of illness, asking for release from pain. In the crying out, we allow ourselves to be honest and vulnerable, and something new can begin. Living with illness may grant us the severe mercy of becoming real. For this day, this moment, may I cry out the desires of my heart. May I trust that you will hear every groan, every sigh, every tear. Amen. Practice. Reflect on the phrase severe mercy. What severe mercies have you experienced as a result of your illness? Make note of them as they occur to you. If there are as yet no mercies in your experience, note that as well. Be honest with yourself and take that honesty into prayer. Day 5. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. Psalm 34, verse 1. How to live with illness. How to find a path of life in the midst of treatment, procedures, blood work, and hospitalizations. How to find a practice of prayer in the midst of all of that. Some years ago, when I was making a call on an older parishioner in a hospital, Joanna told me that in the night, when she could not sleep, she made a practice of praying for everyone in the hospital. She would ask God to bless each patient, each family member, each doctor, each nurse, each nurse's assistant, each janitor, each cook, each lab tech. I remember being taken aback by her capacity to pray for others in the midst of her own distress. Joanna was in her 80s, and she had a great gift for intercessory prayer. She was speaking from the fruit of her life experience, from her own experience of diminishment and increasing pain. I bless God by asking God to bless all these others. We are all connected, you know. She said this with her typical Joanna smile and with the authority of a woman who had been a teacher for most of her life. This day, allow yourself the space and time to ask God's blessing on those who live with the same illness that afflicts you. Ask God's blessing on the researchers who create medicines and treatments that allow you to live with the illness. And remember especially those who have no access to medical care. In remembering them, we bless God who blesses us. Gracious God of life and mercy, grant me the awareness of others who live with illness. Teach me to pray for those who care and tend the sick. And may my prayers bless you. Amen. Practice. Write down the names of others that you know who live with the same ailment that you do. If you live with something rare and don't know of others who live with this illness, just write down something that helps you remember that there are others who have the same malady. For today, be intentional about praying for others who live with the same illness that you live with. Light a candle. Send a check to those who research cures for the illness. Or, if you are able and willing, find a way to embody the intercession through action. If you have received radiation, take good magazines to the radiation center. If you are receiving kidney dialysis, remember to take appropriate snacks to the waiting area. There are many ways to offer prayer for one another. You will no doubt come up with a creative embodiment of your prayer. Day 6. Lord, let me know the end and the number of my days, so that I may know how short my life is. Psalm 39, verse 5. Several years ago, after I had been in the hospital, my husband and I took a driving trip to New Mexico. We savored the stunning scenery of the high road from Santa Fe to Taos, and then followed a big circle through the landscape, stopping at various sites along the way. The ancient rock and open space gave me an unexpected grace, a sense of my own littleness and of the shortness of human life. Those mountains have been there for eons and have witnessed the passing of many generations. For some reason, at that moment, it was truly good news to me to recognize the brevity of human life. Even if I were to live to be 90, in contrast to the endurance of the mountains, that's just a blink of an eye. And from the perspective of eternity, from the eternal now, which is God's time outside of time, our lives are brief. The ancient Hebrews knew this truth better than we do today. Much in our culture leads us to participate in the illusion that we will live forever, that none of us will fall ill, that tragedy will never strike as long as we do the right thing. We need the medicine of remembering that our lives are short and uncertain, contingent and interdependent. And oddly enough, living with illness helps us remember those truths. Gentle Christ, you brought me into being and sustain my earthly life. May I know that my numbered days are sustained by your love and will be received into the arms of mercy at my end. Amen. Practice. In your journal, write, "Teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart to wisdom." A variation on Psalm 90, verse 12. Then begin noting in writing what kinds of wisdom, insight, and common sense you have been awakened to as a result of living with illness. Return to the list from time to time, both to add to it and to reflect. You may want to put the list in a place where it is readily visible, on a mirror or on the inside cover of your journal. Give thanks for the wisdom that living with illness brings. Day 7. A deadly thing, they say, has fastened on him. Psalm 41, verse 8. Years ago, I had the happy experience of being mentored by the Reverend Charles Meyer at St. David's Hospital in Austin, Texas. Chuck was something of an iconoclast. He insisted that we, as a society and as a people of faith, needed to explicitly acknowledge that we were mortal and that dying would happen to all of us. He did not have much patience with the seminarians who distanced themselves from patients in the hospital, essentially saying a deadly thing has fastened on him. Chuck taught with humor and story. He was also one who taught by example and deed as much as by speech. He often said, "Never bury someone until they are dead." Sometimes, when we are living with illness, we will deal with friends and family who inadvertently begin to treat us as if we were not fully alive. Even when we are in hospice care, we are still not dead. Even when a disease has claimed mobility and mental faculty, we have a sacred personhood in Christ. Notice the persons who help you remember that you are alive. Notice the friends and acquaintances, caregivers and doctors, whose engagement with you offers companionship along the way of illness. Give thanks for them and remember to thank them for the gift of receiving your life, however marked by illness it may be, receiving your life as life, singular, sacred, and true. I give you thanks, most gracious God, for those who have helped me along the way. I ask for wisdom in responding to those who can only say, "A deadly thing has fastened on you." And I give you thanks for leading me to see the varieties of life I have known through this illness. Amen. Practice. Write down the names of those who have helped you remember that your life is singular, sacred, and true. Give thanks specifically for each person. As you are led, write each person by email or snail mail to let them know of your gratitude. Be specific in naming the gift that you have received. A kindness, a steady presence, a gift of food or good reading material, or perhaps monetary support. Return to this practice from time to time, remembering those who have given you the gift of blessing your life. Day 8. I call upon you from the ends of the earth with heaviness in my heart. Psalm 61, verse 2. Living with illness leads us to pray with honesty. We learn to pray in and through the details of test results and of deep fatigue. With chronic, progressive, or terminal illness, we sometimes bump headlong into a passage that makes our hearts heavy. It may be one test too many. It may be a development that requires another hospitalization. It may be the sheer grind of living with the demands of a particular illness. The Psalms tell us to pray the heaviness of heart. Don't gussy it up. Don't try to make it pretty. Bring the heaviness of heart to speech. If you are sad, pray the sadness. If you are feeling hard-pressed, pray that feeling. If you are feeling besieged by diagnostic procedures, name that sense of being besieged. True prayer begins with this honest vulnerability. Bring your heaviness of heart to your prayer, trusting that God in Christ is meeting you there, receiving all the pain and the frustration, the fear and the anxiety. Remember that God is with you, as close as your breath, as near as your heartbeat. Ever gentle Christ, my heart is sore and heavy with all that this illness has brought into my life. Be with me in my daily life. Be with all who live with this illness. Amen. Practice. For this practice, you will need some space and time for quiet reflection. Listen to the suggestion all the way through, then do the relaxation and meditation. Afterward, you may wish to write in your journal. Begin by breathing gently in a position that is comfortable for your condition. Allow your breath to find its own gentle rhythm. As you breathe in, allow yourself to become aware of God's gentle presence in the breath itself. As you breathe out, let go of tension. Focus gently on the breath. Once your breath has established its rhythm, add this prayer silently to the breath. Heal and restore, on the inhalation, my heavy heart, on the exhalation. Try initially to pray in this way for 5 to 10 minutes. Don't force anything. If the prayer doesn't work for you, try creating one that names your feelings. Return to this breath prayer from time to time so that it may deepen in you. If you wish, you may want to journal about this time of prayer, noting what comes to your attention and how, or if, you notice changes in your own sadness, frustration, or anxiety. The prayer is not magic. The prayer is a means of naming your honest feelings within the kindly encircling of God's mercy. Day 9. For God alone, my soul in silence waits. Psalm 62, verse 1. Living with illness often offers us silence. We may become homebound when formerly we went to a workplace. We may experience the particular silence of a hospital at night when other persons are dying just down the hall. We may discover that our prayer inclines more and more towards silence, for our speech cannot carry the weight of our experience. Thomas Keating, Trappist monk and teacher of centering prayer, has said that silence is God's first language. If you find yourself being drawn toward silence and stillness in prayer, trust that longing. Our tradition offers the wisdom that at our deepest core, we abide in the rich, creative silence of God. At our deepest core, beyond the daily realities of the illness, Christ dwells in you and you dwell in Christ. In that space within, where your embodied life is grounded and rooted in love, the silence of mercy waits. Today, take the time to choose silence and stillness. Take the time to rest in the God who creates you at this moment and who will receive you at your end. Allow yourself to rest in the silence of this presence who will never leave you and will ever be your friend. Grant me, gracious God, the space and time to rest in you, to know your presence in silence, and to know your love that makes me, keeps me, and receives me. Amen. Practice. A regular practice of silent resting prayer is supported by finding the place that will allow you to inhabit the silence. This could be a chair, or your bed, or a place outside. You may know immediately which place will allow you to step into a practice of silence. Or you may need to try out different places to see how they feel. Once you have found the place, try to allow yourself to sit or lie quietly. Allow your attention to rest on the rhythm of your breath. This kind of silence is akin to that moment just before sleep descends, a kind of letting go, a kind of entrusting. If you become drowsy, don't worry about it. This silence is set aside for us to remember what it is to rest in the presence of God. This silence is not focused attention. Breathe and rest. If you need words, just say thank you and leave it at that. Return to silent resting prayer as often as you wish. Day 10. I will dwell in your house forever. I will take refuge under the cover of your wings. Psalm 61, verse 4. Living with illness is all the more difficult if I am struggling with a punitive image of God. If I have a notion that God decided to strike me with illness, it will be very difficult to sense that God is merciful. If I have been brought up to believe that God has nothing better to do than find mean ways to hurt the people God has made, I am not likely to trust that God. In a strange way, living with illness often unmasks our latent images of God. We discover that we may harbor suspicions that God has singled us out for punishment via cancer or multiple sclerosis or heart disease. If you have found these kinds of thoughts in your own reflection, they need to be seen for what they are. Illusion. The ongoing witness of Scripture and tradition assures us that God is gracious and compassionate. God's own house is known for hospitality and welcome, not mean-spirited action. The psalmist offers us an image as tender as a mother bird, under whose wings we might shelter. As you pray through your own life with illness, allow yourself to notice how you picture God. If those images and pictures fill you with dread and cowering fear, they need to be ditched. Allow yourself to dwell in the steadfast love of God's own house, to seek shelter under the gentle wing of mercy. Merciful and loving Christ, help me to know you as you are. Grant me a sure sense of your presence and guidance, that as I walk with this illness, I may know that your love is steadfast. Amen. Practice. Allow yourself to sit or lie in a comfortable position. Gently focus your attention on your breath. As you begin to enter the prayer, offer these words, "I will take refuge in you." Repeat the phrase silently, noticing what the phrase evokes for you. Stay with this repetition for as long as you wish. When you are ready, relinquish the words. Focus on the breath. Offer silent thanksgiving. You may wish to journal about your prayer.